Turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. What a great chapter this is. And the way it begins is dynamic. I read the Bible so many times, I still get excited with every passage I open to. Well, maybe not Leviticus so much, if you want to be honest. But still, so much, there's so much that throws my heart. I never just read the Bible. I always recognize it's the Word of God. And if God is speaking, then I want to be listening. And that's so important. I think back of how much I missed in my teen years because of a simple word called indifference. And when I look over my shoulder and I think of those days, I realize how much help that I forfeited. And but I learned since that no matter what passage of Scripture is being addressed, I listen because it's the Word of God. And God has something for me. And I've taught my heart by discipline and the help of the Holy Spirit to respond to God's Word. Now, many of you know, many of you don't know, the Schulteises from Kingsburg, but Sister Grace Schulteis, you know, when she would say something, you listen. And you know why? Because she got like this close to you when she said it, you know? She was one of those who just got right up to you and said, Keith, what, and you know, what, you have to listen because she's in your face. I think that's where that adage came from. Don't be in my face. Maybe that's where it came from, I don't know. But it was good. It was good to learn to listen that way. Well, look at how this chapter 5 of Ephesians starts out. Therefore, be imitators of God. Now, I kind of got a reputation for imitating people. Unfairly. And I used to do Reverend Gardner, who was the first director of this camp. But let me boast a little in this, if I might. Since I got the reputation, you know, might as well capitalize on it. My competition. Well, one time, Reverend Gardner was the director of this camp and a man who walked with the Lord and loved the Lord and a great teacher. We feared him, we revered him, and but we also liked to make fun of his voice because it was different. And so I was in the kitchen. And I was having a bit of fun with sounding like the director of the camp. Wow! And I was doing him when his wife came in the back door, and I was in the front part of the kitchen. Go, wow! I don't know. And then I heard her go, Gordon. 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 And then he wasn't there. Like Enoch or Elijah. She had a greater respect for him that day. But just to finish that bit of silliness up, you know what happened? When she found out it was me, she told Reverend Gardner. So I got called to his room. I got called to his room, where I'm staying now. And I'm nervous. And I'm, what in the world's going, you know? And so he says, wow, hey. Oh. That's how he laughed. He goes, come on, do it. And of course, I play dumb. Like, do what? You know? Good. You can't. Well, anyway, that's what happened. But the portion of this chapter starts out where the apostle says, be an imitator of God. Be an imitator of God. And you know, I used to think, boy, that's so difficult. And it is. But he says something next. Look what he says next. As what? As dear children. Now, that puts a whole different slant on it. You know, that makes it real. It's not just imitating God, but as a dear child of God, right? And okay, now I'm related in a sense. And that's more of a natural way. He goes on in here in verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And now in verses 3 through 4, he lists some things that they need to get away from. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather, what? Giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous person, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one, verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. And so, the Apostle Paul makes a distinct difference here. Are things different now since you received Christ? Have things changed in your life? Are things changing in your life? You know, the apostle said, when you receive Christ, then we begin to think like he thinks and talk like he talks. We walk as he walks. There are places we can't go anymore. You know, this is so important, I think, particularly in this generation, that we realize that there is a call to come out of this world. We can't accept everything in this world. It's interesting how Satan never comes after us with a big thing, but he starts with the small thing. The thing that seems like, well, this is not that harmful, right? But what did Solomon say? He said, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And I have never been trapped by a big thing, but I've been snared by the tiny things. You know, the small steps, the little glances, the things that seem so harmless. Now, growing up in church, I've heard dozens of illustrations, and one of them that always sticks with me is about the Indian boy who, in his reservation, he wants to make a pet of a snake. How many have heard this illustration? No? Oh, see, everybody who's been to Kingsburg has heard this. Well, he picks up the little snake, and the big chief goes, put down snake. No snake. But he has to hide it now because all of the adults and the chiefs and the leaders are saying it's not the smartest thing to befriend a snake. So he keeps the snake in the woods. And you know where this is going, right? Well, the snake gets bigger and bigger. And his joy is just to feed and have this snake as a pet. But it isn't before that very same pet bites him and wraps around him and kills him. And I remember growing up with that illustration. Can you imagine being a 10-year-old and your Sunday school teacher's telling you that? You go to school and one of your friends go, I got a pet boa constrictor. And the first thing you say to him is, you're going to die. That's it, right? Because that's what you were taught. Well, that illustration speaks to us because there are some, maybe even in this room, who the Lord or a Sunday school teacher or a pastor, through the Word of God, is speaking to you about you shouldn't really make that thing a pet in your life. And you're ignoring it. And so you don't bring it up. You don't tell what movies you're watching. You don't say, you don't tell what songs you're into. I hope it's not rap. I'm not down with that. That, you know, you think you can get away with some of these things, and you find out that they get bigger and bigger in our lives. Well, while I'm at it, I might as well tell you another story. I ended, as a young fella, I ended up, through some friends in school, getting wrapped up into Mr. New Jersey, Bruce Springsteen. And I started really, you know, enjoying his music. But I never would put a poster up of him. My goodness, that would be an idol, wouldn't it? Right? So I never, but you know, when I would go over to my friend's house, you know, we enjoyed discussing, like you would the Bible, the lyrics of Bruce Springsteen. And you know what? One night, without anyone speaking to me, but the Holy Spirit said, you know what? He is an idol in your life. You know his lyrics so much better than the Word of God. And I said, no, I don't. And he said, yeah, you do. And you know what God did for me? And this happened a few nights in a row, because this is how much God loves us. That's why I share this story. For a few nights in a row, the Holy Spirit was convicting me about something I loved so much, and something I related to. Now, his lyrics weren't bad. They weren't filthy. They weren't like, you know, Drake or Future or any of those other rappers. Yeah, it was clean. It was just experienced stuff. And so I'm like, Lord, I'm having this argument with the Holy Spirit. Like, Lord, what's wrong with this? You know, it's just no big deal. And the Lord kept saying, you know, he's an idol in your life. Well, this went on for a while. Finally, guess what? My friend gave me something for my birthday. You know, guess what it was? It was a poster of Bruce Springsteen. It was cool. And so I hung it up, you know. And my mother said, who's that? And I said, it's somebody from Jersey. From Jersey. But you know what happened? And this is, I was struggling. I said, God, I don't see what's wrong. I don't think he's an idol in my life. And this argument, this conversation with the Holy Spirit went on for a long time. Longer than the story. But you know what God did for me? I'm in Monmouth Mall, and my friend and I are shopping around Sam Goody's. It's a record store. And here, never heard of it, right? Have you? Well, we're coming out of there, and we're heading down the escalator, and in front of us is this gentleman with this this woman, and my friend says, that's Bruce Springsteen. And I said, no, it couldn't be. And so we followed this guy. We followed him into Karen's Curtains. Now, I said to my friend, there ain't no way that no rock star is going to go into Karen's Curtains. That can't be him. But we followed him into there. And when we got in there, we walked up to him and said, are you Bruce Springsteen? And it was. And his head was like this big. Because, you know, when that's all you look at when you meet the celebrity. Well, we met him, and my friend said, this is your biggest fan. And, you know, when he said that, now this is really strange. Of course, excited to meet this celebrity, you know, this rock star. But he said, my friend says, this is your biggest fan. My heart was pierced. I didn't know where that came from. And I put out my hand and shook his hand, and we talked with him. And I went home after that. And after I told all my friends that I met Bruce Springsteen, I went home, and I felt that same rub. And I said, God, you must love me an awful lot. Because I don't know why I feel this rub. There's no reason on this side of heaven why I would ever feel this rub. In my heart, I just met somebody that would be fantastic to meet. You know, I'm never going to wash his hand again type thing. And I said, you must love me an awful lot. And I tore down that poster. And I remember sitting on my bed and crying like a baby. You know, I would to God that he would do that for you. Because there was no earthly reason why my heart should bother me. I argued with God and he won. But that's how real the Holy Spirit is. And so the apostle says, you know, he mentions some pretty heavy stuff here in this list that he's giving in this early part of the chapter. Pretty heavy stuff. And we may sit here and say, well, that's way out of my realm. But you know, it's the small stake, it's the first step, it's the first argument that you win with God that leads to these things. So the apostle says in 7, therefore do not be partakers with them. Now, just to end that story, I had a little bit of a problem. Because my friends, my worldly friends, they were like, there's a concert, you know. And it was tough to say, well, have a good time. You're not going? And I was just hoping they would not ask me why. But they did. And I said, you know, I don't want him to be an idol in my life. And that's caused a little bit of a riff. But I had rather be friends with Christ than friends with the world. And maybe you have that decision too. But let me get to where I'm going. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Look what he says in 8. For he says here, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And you got to stop right there and celebrate the fact that he's conveyed you from darkness into light. We need to celebrate that. You can't let the enemy minimize that. You know, if you're a good church boy like me, or a good church girl, you grew up in church, you know what I find is that the enemy blows the candles out on the cake. And he gets us not to celebrate the fact that God's called us out of this world into a glorious light. And the apostle, he tells them, don't forget that you were once darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. He says, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And that's another great thing to just underline. Are you finding out what's acceptable to the Lord in your life? I'm 57 years old. I'm still finding out. God's still showing me that this is acceptable. This is good. This is the way. Walk in it. I hope that's occurring in your life daily, where God is teaching you, guiding you, leading you by the Holy Spirit. As it gets darker out there, it ought to get lighter in here. Right? He goes on to say, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather, what? Reprove them, expose them, right? I like the word that this translation says, to expose them, you know. I never realized growing up that my room was a mess until my mother had us turn the lights on, you know. And then you say, like, okay, you know, and she would say, well, check under the bed. There were things under that bed. Well, you know, I mean, some people just don't see dirt. But the Holy Spirit will help you. Enlighten and expose those things, right? For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Now here it is. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you what?
Light.
All right. Here comes the amen that we can take with us today. I looked at this chapter a while back and I said, wow, God has taken me out of darkness and into light. And the apostle drums it home to the Ephesians of what a glorious event that is. But in this next section, he tells them, and he's telling us, that then we better take good care of that thing, right? And so I made an acrostic, which I'll just share with you quickly. When I looked at the light that we've come into, that you better take care. You better know what you have. Right? You lose what you don't respect. You disregard what you don't realize that that is a gift to you. And so take a look at the four things he tells us in 15 through 18. The first, here's the acrostic, C. C stands for circumspectly. When you have the light of God, you've got to walk circumspectly, looking around, right? He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. I see Christians today, and the carelessness frightens me. So C stands for, since we have this great light, walk circumspectly. Keep your eyes open. Watch your surroundings. Look around. But then there's A, and that goes for verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And when I looked at this, you know, now that I'm walking in the light, I'm accountable for my time. I'm accountable. I matter. That's what the Holy Spirit wants you to know, that you matter. And your time matters. You're not just on a senseless, meaningless journey, but your life has a purpose and a meaning. And if that's true, then every second counts. And so the apostle says, don't go just roaming around senselessly or just sort of haphazardly or chasing good time Charlie all the time. But realize that you're accountable for the time that God gives you as you walk in the light. So that's C-A. The R is for rational thought. And that's for 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, when I was born again, that right when I received Jesus Christ, thus began the rational thoughts in my life. The thoughts that began to make sense. The thoughts that led to good decisions, better actions, more wholesome habits. That's rational thinking. And you need to realize that. Okay, the last one, E. E is for enter in. Because if you're walking in the light, then you need to realize there's things to enter into. And the apostle gives us a list here. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is... What does your version say? What is it?
Excess.
Right, which is excess. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. Isn't that wonderful? You know, you got to keep that in your conscience to do that. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's what we should enter into. That's the walk, that's the light that we have. So take care of it. Guard it. Live in it that way. It'll make a difference even in this day. Let's stand together. Walking, I'm walking in newness of life. Free from the struggle and free from the strife, trusting and resting and counting it done. Dwelling, I'm dwelling, the battle is won. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, dear Jesus. Praise the Lord. We thank you, dear glorious Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Gracious Lord, in the name of this life, we thank you for the wonderful dwelling of the Holy Spirit. We worship you, Lord. We worship you.
Jesus is
Lord. We worship you. We rejoice in the light of your eyes. We rejoice in the call that you have for us, O God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, that today we'll walk in the light as you are in the light. And we pray, God, that we'll always respond to the voice of the shepherd, to your word. Lord, no matter how deep it penetrates into our own will, may we always surrender. Oh, we love you, Lord. And you're our salvation and our light, and we thank you. And we ask, God, that this day, once again, that for those who will be coming up, that they too will sense your presence and the light of the Lord. We pray, God, for any of these girls who don't know you, that you'll convey them from darkness into light, into the glorious light of Jesus Christ. We go today and we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.